in the 80s, we were promised hoverboards that actually hovered, biometric locks, and video chatting at our fingertips. Well, two out of three ain't bad. This week on Techonomics, guest host and best-selling author Julian Guthrie chats with one major Silicon Valley insider about his vision of the future and how we get there.
We return to our conversation with Reid Hoffman in Sunnyvale, where we talk about how every individual can be more productive and create better networks. I asked the skilled investor and serial entrepreneur what he sees as the coolest trends and companies coming down the pipeline.
The answer to that question actually has more components than it normally does. Artificial intelligence, machine learning is definitely one area that I'm paying attention to. Synthetic biology is another one. Virtual reality and augmented reality is another one. Internet of Things is another. I think one of the reasons why everyone's kind of like, well, what's going on, is there's so many different vectors where maybe that vector is going to be huge. And then you begin to think about, what if you put them in combination? Artificial intelligence with synthetic biology, or Internet of Things with artificial intelligence. What's happening? It's like, oh my gosh, there's so much room here for what's going on. I think people are, including myself, are a little confused at the moment.
So I think the question that people pose and are worried about is AI becoming more intelligent than humans. Mm. But we're a long way off from that. What do you, or yes?
I have an interesting question where I ask people at a 50% certainty, what's the number of decades off that they think that human-level intelligent artificial machines will be? Because roughly speaking, their level of alarm comes to where they put it. So, for example, people who go, oh my gosh, this is a really big issue, will generally do 10 to 20 years. People who think, oh, this is an important issue we should be talking about, but we're not really sure yet, is 30 to 50 years. And people who are like, oh, God, this is a storm in a teacup, is like 50 to 100, 100 plus years. And that's roughly, you can actually do this topology reasonably well. The problem is I know that there's a couple of specific acts of magic to really get there, which we don't know the answers to yet. And it's all a question of, oh, look, it's working. We'll make it work. It'll happen. Then it could be 20 to 40 years in that scenario. You know, my guess is that actually, in fact, what we'll see is we will be creating these amazing artificial intelligence machines, but they won't be exactly like human level or super intelligence. They'll be more like interesting, what term in English is idiot savants, which is amazing here, but a little brittle on the sides, right? And that universe is a universe that generally leaves a lot of room for humanity, has very productive outcomes. It's not to say certain. This is all running through a fog, dark, you know, through a fog over uneven ground. But I'm generally speaking pretty optimistic about what kind of future for humanity we can create.
What about AI that's more ethical than we are?
Well, that would be a very good thing.
Since how we started our conversation, right?
Exactly. I have said on stage that a simple training regimen for artificial intelligence is, could we make them into Buddhists? Right? Because
yes.
If we could make AIs into Buddhists, that would be very good. You know, respect for all sentient life, you know, et cetera. If we can, that's much more of like a Star Trek future, right? That's much more of a, ooh, that's a good place to be. And I think that we have difficulty as a species agreeing on ethics amongst ourselves. So I think that part of that work of making it the right way with artificial intelligence is also to have dialogue amongst ourselves about what those right, higher level aspirational ethics are for all of us.
Interesting subject. Let's switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about LinkedIn and the founding of it. Going back a little bit, you had started a company called SocialNet in 1997. You joined PayPal in 1999, and you used your PayPal payout to start LinkedIn in May 2003. Interesting kind of zeitgeist at that time, 2003, with Facebook was a year away, right? Tell me about your trajectory from SocialNet to PayPal, and was it a common thread?
Well, PayPal was a little bit of a sidestep. So my thread is, how do I build, design, and improve human ecosystems such that we're all better as individuals and better as a society and as a group? That's the thing that I like to create most directly participate in. And so that's SocialNet, that's LinkedIn. Now, PayPal is related to it, but PayPal was founded by Peter Thiel, Max Levchin, Elon Musk, right? It was these folks who were the primary founders. It still had that human ecosystem of being, you know, paying and transferring money and so forth. So it was still very interesting to me, but I was part of the founding team as a board member, not one of the founders.
Okay.
But the arc for me is, how do we improve ourselves as individuals and ourselves as groups, and how do we have the system design that it's like the natural gravity of evolution improves all of our human lives and capabilities and potential?
LinkedIn, founded May 5th, I think 2003, or around that time, May 2003, as I said. So within its first week, it had something like 2,200 subscribers. So what is it today?
It's over 500 million.
It's over.
And it's not subscribers, it's members.
Members. Okay. Yes. Do you feel like you have achieved what you set out to and then some with LinkedIn? Or did you have a completely different vision of what it was?
We're on path to the vision that I've had. The basic idea with LinkedIn is, how can we help every individual in the world know how to invest in themselves and to find the right economic opportunities to transform their life, whoever they are, anywhere in the world? That's what we're trying to do. And not just in a find a job basis or manage a career basis, but being productive on a day by day, week by week basis. And we have a long way to get there, right? We are making a big difference for a number of people, but we would like to be able to have it be obvious, for example, that every college student graduating anywhere in the world goes, oh yeah, LinkedIn is the way that I manage what the future, the startup of me, my career opportunity looks like, and I should go do that, and this is the way I do it. Whereas, you know, I think a lot of students still go, oh yeah, that's where all those elite professionals are. I'm not one of those yet. It's like, no, it's for you too. So we have a lot of room to still go, and we need to help people understand how to not just use LinkedIn to look for a job, but how to invest in themselves, how to decide which industries are growing and changing and which ones are the right fits for them and when they should be entrepreneurial and when they should join a company and these kinds of things. These are all parts of the work. And for example, we bought lynda.com a couple of years ago because part of what we want to do is also find the skills that are relevant to you. So you go, oh, I need these new skills. Well, we can help you find them. We can help you learn them. We can help you get them so that you can continue to be, you know, economically powerful within whatever community you're in.
LinkedIn was sold last year to Microsoft for $26 billion. What compelled that?
Personally, I think all great companies are in service to a mission, right? To some degree, we all work for the mission. Even the CEO works for the mission. So LinkedIn's mission, transform the economic curve for every individual. Microsoft's mission, very big company, but broadly, make organizations productive. This is a little bit kind of like the peanut butter and chocolate sort of thing. It's like, oh, actually, in fact, you can really help us. We can really help you. We can actually make this much, much better together. And so that was essentially the core idea that made it conclude. Once we kind of had enough different expressions of interest that kind of kicked us into a process by which we were thinking, is this the right thing for the members? Is it the right thing for the shareholders? Is it the right thing for the employees? Is it the right thing for the mission? And ultimately, obviously, we concluded that the Microsoft combination helped the world and the members and the shareholders and the employees a lot better than not doing it.
How do you divide your time?
Running around rather crazily. My obviously day job is I'm a partner at Greylock. I do investing in various companies. I recently invested in a company called Kixo, which is trying to help transform fitness by kind of making gym classes of a kind of an easy to participate way available through your mobile phone so everyone can be healthier, human potential. Convoy, which is ability to do logistics and trucking. So I do a whole bunch of stuff there. I do a bunch of stuff in philanthropy, entrepreneurship, Endeavor, which is high impact entrepreneurship. So it's endeavor.org, Kiva.org, which is micro entrepreneurship. A bunch of other things. Impact investing. There's a set of companies within the political space like CrowdPack and PopVox and so forth. And then there is politics itself trying to, you know, help avert what I refer to as the Trumpocalypse. Right. So there's,
you know, could keep you busy more than full time.
Yes. So roughly speaking, my friends and I frequently have a funny dispute of exactly how many full-time jobs I have. It's probably at least three. It may be as many as five or six.
What's fun for you? What? All of this? Or is it, what is it?
So fun for me is seeing when I started, and I still am on this path, is how do I strengthen public intellectual culture in the U.S., which is the discussion of who are we and who should we be as individuals in society.
Why are you thinking bigger?
Right. Yeah, I know.
It's a total
humility. Yes, of course. And so, and I'm doing some of that. And so what I find to be most fun is when I get vision and insight into that, when I can see how I can, like, what's possible for the evolution of humanity and what are things I could do to help with that. And so for me, it's usually dinner parties with friends, working on interesting intellectual ideas around, for example, how does technology change human nature, evolve human nature? What are the good ways to make that happen? And then being a good participant in society. So, like, for example, you mentioned earlier, how do we figure out how to make sure that most people are included in the economic future when we're building a bunch of robots and succeeding in whatever fashion with artificial intelligence? And how do we bridge the path to that as best we can?
I'm Julian Guthrie, guest host of Techonomics. When we come back to Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn, we will discuss whether his childhood spent moving around led him to want to create a more connected world. That's next.